Welcome to RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to The Breakfast Bite. Andrew Mays with you on your Monday morning, June 18, 2018. It is a huge morning of sport. There's a lot of live action taking place as well. We'll update you on the US Open shortly on the show. But first of all, good win for the Tigers yesterday. Dustin Martin back into the Richmond team and leading them to another victory at the MCG over Geelong.
So the Tigers have got them all up. Dustin Martin in the goal square says, "King of me." Up it goes, off hands, there he is! King of the May, why wouldn't you?
It is going to be a fascinating morning as well in the US Open. Brooks Koepka at the moment leading things on his own, but Patrick Reed is on the charge. 5 under through his opening 7 holes in the final round at Shinnecock Hills.
Now Koepka, this would be a heck of a birdie after driving it into that left-hand rough, showing no favoritism, just total disregard for his left wrist injury.
Even for the week. And leading by two.
Well, that has been cut all the way to none. Now, he shares the lead with Patrick Reed after a bogey, just tapping it in there. To World Cup action from overnight and a massive upset. Germany 1-0 loses to Mexico. That audio courtesy of Optus Sports, an amazing game overnight, and Brazil and Switzerland currently locked at 1-1 with about 20 minutes of normal time remaining. Plenty to come on The Breakfast Bite. Stick around on your Monday morning.
You're listening to RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.
Don't forget, there's a lot to come as well after 6 o'clock this morning. Make sure you stay tuned. Rodney Ead will be in from 7 o'clock with his Round 13 analysis. We're going to catch up with Francis Leach as well, who's over in Russia at the moment with the Socceroos. The early mail before 7 o'clock, Dave Donaghy, CEO of the Melbourne Storm. Not only did they win yesterday, but they locked in Craig Bellamy for his contract. Luckily, resisted the lure of the Broncos deal. So the Melbourne Storm CEO to join us after 8 o'clock this morning. Usman Khawaja as well, Australian Test batsman after he made a century last week for Glamorgan. Mike Clayton to finish the show. He'll update us on everything at the US Open. And we might talk that pretty interesting incident with Phil Mickelson yesterday. Let's start, though, with a footy from yesterday. And as I mentioned off the top, a great win for the Tigers. And wasn't it good to see a good game of footy on a Sunday afternoon? Richmond, in the end, 18-point winners over Geelong, 12-11-83 to the Cats, 9-11-65. As I mentioned, great to see Dustin Martin back up and about. Good to see Daniel Rioli back out there as well. Here's his coach, Damien Hardwick, on Rioli's return.
Yeah, there's no doubt he was hungry. He was probably a little bit disappointed we didn't play him last week. But, you know, strength and conditioning staff have done a wonderful job, and Daniel's done a wonderful job with his rehab. We know how important he is to our footy club, and we were really strong in the fact that we weren't going to bring him in regardless of, you know, what the results were going along the way. Would we have loved to play him last week? Absolutely. But our philosophy's always been to make sure he's right for the back end of the year.
Damien Hardwick speaking there on Daniel Rioli, who kicked that magnificent goal in the last quarter to seal things for the Tigers. He also spoke about the win in general.
Latter sort of to me is secondary, really. It's for me, the quality of the win against the quality opposition was really, really pleasing from our point of view. You know, it was an arm wrestle all day. Conditions made it tough. Yeah, their formation behind the ball is very strong, and you know, for our guys to respond when Geelong were coming at that third quarter, and then to gain ascendancy was really important, I think. And yeah, the pressure was probably back to its elite level. You had a young kid in by the name of Rioli. It makes a difference. I think he had three 450 tackles in the first quarter, which probably sets a standard. And Sometimes it depends who you play. There's certain games that are a little bit different, and then there's certain opposition that play a final brand of footy, if that makes sense. So that they invite pressure, and you know both sides thrive off it. And you know they're a final, obviously a final side, Geelong, and the way they play the game lends itself to that also.
Damien Hardwick speaking there yesterday. Now to Chris Scott, who says the Cats didn't really make the most of their opportunities.
Well, we were plus 12 centre bounce clearances, plus 9 inside 50s, just not as good at the fundamentals as they were. What was a really tight game, it was statistically a tight game, but it felt a tight game for the most part, generally. The difference was they were just able to make the most of some of their opportunities, and you know, we were really strong at the fall of the ball. You know, their dangerous small forwards were good. Sort of game where we're coming away thinking that there were really important parts of our game that didn't stand up. It was more just, you know, some of the fundamentals, some crucial contests, you know, especially early in that last quarter, you know, a couple of basic skill errors which we shouldn't spend too much time bemoaning, but in a tight game against a really high quality opposition, that can make the difference. I think last time we played them, we struggled to get the ball forward at all, much less with any effectiveness. You know, at least in big parts of the game today, we were getting it in there. We just weren't composed enough and clean enough with our ball use to get better looks.
Chris Scott there speaking yesterday. Both those teams this week will enjoy the bye. This is the last of the bye round, so a rest for Geelong, Richmond, Adelaide, Fremantle, St Kilda and Sydney. Thursday night footy returns with West Coast hosting Essendon at Optus Stadium. Now to the World Cup soccer from overnight. A couple of huge results. Currently, Brazil and Switzerland locked at 1-1. Who would have picked that? Brazil, one of the favourites for this World Cup. Mexico were the upset overnight, 1-0 winners over Germany, and a little earlier on it was Serbia 1-0 over Costa Rica. But Brazil did take the advantage, and Switzerland have levelled. So we'll update you on that all throughout the morning, about 8 minutes left of normal time. To Mile Jedinak now, he spoke overnight about the Australian support despite the 2-1 loss to France over the weekend.
Yeah, it was a home game. It goes without saying. I think once you heard that anthem, you knew. I think that was probably why, you know, gave us that extra bit of, I don't know, extra bit of energy. You know, it made us grow a little bit, as they say. But you felt it. You felt it straight away, and you know, you wanted to stress that to the boys, most definitely, because when you're playing on the biggest stage. And you come and you are so far away from home, to see so many of your fans there and singing that anthem like that was truly remarkable.
Yeah, it was pretty incredible stuff over there in Kazan. We will cross to Francis Leach in about 45 minutes' time for an update on things over in Russia and how the Australian squad is tracking. Just before we leave the World Cup, Mark van Bommel, who is part of the coaching staff for Bert van Marwijk, he spoke about the match against Denmark, which will be played on Thursday night, Australian time.
Yeah, we take this with us, and I think we got a lot of confidence. But before the game, nobody would expect that we could play in this way. And you see, even against the big countries, we have a chance. And of course, we take this with us to the Denmark game, but it isn't a guarantee that we play in the same way like against France. But if you lose, unfortunately, but you play really well, that's better than when you lose and you don't have a chance. Yeah, Denmark, they used to play 4-4-2 long balls, but they changed the way of play because also they have the style of players to play in another system. And all some of them that are playing with really good clubs, they have a really good team. Maybe a little bit the same like we try to do. They play as a team. And they want to work as a team, and it will be a more difficult game, I think, more difficult than against France. But we're going to prepare them really good now in the next couple of days, and we're going to try to prepare them like we did before France. And if we can achieve that level of play, then we have a good chance that we can make points.
We'll leave the World Cup there for the time being. I'll give you an update in 10 minutes once the full-time whistle goes between Brazil and Switzerland. To the tennis world now, and brilliant news for Roger Federer. He has racked up another win this time in Stuttgart. He's loving the grass court season already.
One match point needed for Roger Federer to seal the deal in Stuttgart. And the King of Grass has won his 18th title on this surface. He's first in Stuttgart, his third of the year. And with this victory, Federer joins the illustrious list of previous winners in Stuttgart. Bjorn Borg, Ivan Lendl, Andre Agassi, Rafael Nadal. And now, on Sunday in June, Federer, the new world ranked number one, has joined that list.
Yeah, so Roger Federer back to world number one. Some unbelievable results for the Australians overnight as well. This is a tournament in Nottingham on the Challenger circuit. Alex de Minaur, one of our young stars, has beaten Evans of England. So being a Brit at home, the number two seed went on to win 7-6, 7-5 in the final. So that is a fantastic result for him heading towards Wimbledon in a couple of weeks' time. He will join the guys after 6:30, so in about 45 minutes' time after that win overnight. Ash Barty has also had a win. Hers was her second career title on the WTA Tour. She beat Joanna Konta in three sets, so defeating another Brit at home at Nottingham. Barty was the number one seed, 6-3, 3-6, 6-4 in the final. Joanna Konta has gone fairly deep at Wimbledon too, so that's very good news for Ashleigh Barty coming in to the grass court season. So a couple of young Australians flying the flag overnight. Wonderful to see. Before we hit the ad break, we'll update you on the NRL news from yesterday. As I mentioned off the top of the show, great news with Craig Bellamy signing on for the Melbourne Storm, resisting the lure of going back up north to the Brisbane Broncos. Yesterday, though, on the pitch, it was Josh Adokar, the New South Wales Origin star, a Melbourne Storm superstar, getting the job done yet again.
Watson goes to the line, grubbers, a ricochet, off legs, picked up here by Munster. There's nobody in front of him, and it's all over now. Ponga can run, but there's nobody who can catch the Ferrari that is the Fox.
Yeah, he was amazing in another double. I think both of his tries, he ran 95 metres to the finishing line, which was a remarkable effort. 28 points to 10 over the Knights. So another win for the Melbourne Storm. It's a good one considering this time of year. They're now 9 wins from their opening 14 games, sitting in 5th spot at the moment, but their points differential is huge compared to those around them. So if they do win again, they could be up as high as 3rd at the end of next week. That's a strange time for the Melbourne Storm because the entire competition will take a little bit of a break this week because Origin is on a Sunday for the first time, maybe ever, perhaps. I can't remember it being on a Sunday, always been the midweek fixturing, but not as much of a backup for the players. So that's good news for the Melbourne Storm as well. Let's hear now from Craig Bellamy, who's pretty happy with the win.
It was a difficult day, especially to attack. I thought, you know, with the wind, obviously, it wasn't real windy where I was sitting, but it looked very windy out there, especially when you've seen some of the kicks, you know, what happened to the balls. So, it would have been a tough day handling. Probably one of the things that worked in our favour, we completed a lot better than the Knights. You know, the Knights have been completing really well for most of the year, but, you know, they made a lot of mistakes today and we didn't make that many mistakes. So it really helped us build some pressure and, you know, that sort of pressure told, you know, sort of halfway through the second half. And, yeah, I thought it was a pretty good display by our boys.
Craig Bellamy there after the win yesterday for the Melbourne Storm. Let's hear from a bit of the interview he gave to Fox Sports right after putting pen to paper with the Melbourne Storm.
Yeah, I suppose it is. It's been going on for a little while, but, you know, there was a couple of things that, a fair few things, you know, footy-wise and family-wise that I need to sort out. And, I suppose, you know, I think everyone's sort of glad, you know, the decision's made now and everyone can move on. But it was a really tough decision. There was a lot of things to think about. And but as you say, it's probably is a bit of a relief for everyone that it's done and dusted now.
You obviously had plenty of options. What was the biggest factor in keeping you in Melbourne?
Oh, yeah, you know, there was a lot of, I wouldn't think that, you know, there was one major factor, to be quite honest. There was a whole heap of things. I think probably the main one, I suppose, would be, you know, the Storm gave me my opportunity, you know, to coach in the NRL. And, you know, I feel a, you know, real bond with the players down there and, you know, the people at the Storm. And so I suppose, you know, that bond with the players, probably more so the older players as well, you know. So, you know, that was, I suppose, a real big reason for it. But there was a few other things, you know, family-wise, personal-wise as well. So, yeah, it just took a while to get all the ducks and put them in a straight line, I suppose.
Craig Bellamy there speaking yesterday on Fox Sports. Meanwhile, Dustin Johnson has just missed a par putt from about no more than a metre. So he's dropped another shot. He's back to 3 over the card. He's now 2 behind Brooks Koepka and Patrick Reed, who lead the way at 1 over on the 7th and 8th hole, respectively. We'll keep you updated on the US Open all throughout the morning. On the other side of this, that final score coming in the game between Brazil and Switzerland. A little bit more footy news and a bit of cricket and supercars as well.
RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.
He heads down to the last corner for the last time, David Reynolds. He's already had a win at this location. He's had a bunch of pole positions. But he converts beautifully. Race number 16 belongs to David Reynolds and the Penrider of his home, victory in Darwin.
Yeah, awesome job, boys.
Awesome job indeed. Dave Reynolds with another win this Supercars season. He wins the Darren Triple Crown at Hidden Valley. In the Drivers' Championship now, he's moved up to third spot. Scott McLaughlin still leading the way in his Ford. Let's listen to Dave after the win yesterday, courtesy of Fox Sports.
Oh, thanks very much. Pretty much business as usual for me. I always try and get the best starts I can, and just hung my balls out at turn one and went a bit deeper than everyone, and it paid off, and, you know, that's what set up our race, and we had awesome pit stops and good strategy. So, yeah, my car was amazing today. Couldn't fold it. It was magnificent.
Here's the number one in terms of his turn of phrase, Dave Reynolds. Dying moments of that match between Brazil and Switzerland, still locked at 1-1. 5 minutes to be added on, so still plenty of time for a very, very late winner. To the cricket world now, and a bit of reaction yesterday to Australia's second ODI loss. A bit disappointing, despite Shaun Marsh's efforts making a century with the bat. Brendan Julian here with a discussion yesterday on Fox Sports about the middle order and how to fix it.
They're trying to work out their combinations getting into the World Cup next year. World Cup next year is in England. Yeah. They need to work out batting. Batting is the issue for Australia at the moment. Bowling, I don't mind that because you're always going to get injuries. You've got all those big guys coming back.
Yeah,
we need to sort out a batting. And that's where I think the issue was probably last night. I mean, I wouldn't mess with Finch in top of the order. I mean, I just saw when Finch ahead.
They put him down the order.
Yeah, look, they like, because he would have the experience, so they'd go, oh, yeah, well, let's get him down the order. But I like Head and Finch at the top of the order. Darcy Short comes in, he's an opener, he's a top order batsman, but I would have slid him down the order.
Yeah.
I think Finchie coming in against spin in the middle order, I'm not, you know, I'd rather see a guy that bats well go from the top.
Chris Lynn, if he's not injured.
Well, mate, Lynn is great. Yeah, I mean, Lynn is fantastic.
If he's not injured.
Yeah, you can't throw, is it?
Yeah.
So they need to work out this system. I think that they need to make sure that Head and Finch are at the top of the order. Yeah. I love Shaun Marsh in there at 3. Stoinis, I think that's an experiment for them, but I reckon he's 1 too high. I think he should be down a bit.
Yeah.
He's a big game player. He batted really well that 100 he got in Eden Park a couple of years back. He's a guy who can hit it in the middle
Stoinis,
order.
I like Stoinis.
Good all-rounder, but they need to sort out that middle order. I mean, we had enough batting. Ed Payne coming
Smith
in at 8.
Steve come back? Do you think Steve Smith's back to 3?
If he can... Oh, I think he'll come back.
He's still way off. I mean, you've got to...
Yeah, I mean, the hardest thing for those
guys... We're talking
about... Yeah, but they'll have to come straight into the World Cup.
Yeah.
They won't have any lead-up games.
Oh, wow.
And if I was England, I wouldn't be letting them play county cricket.
No.
No way.
Oh, God, no.
Because you got World Cup and then go straight into Ashes. So for Smith and Warner, they need to get some game time.
Brendan Julian there on the Australian ODI batting. Now to a bit of rugby, and the Wallabies went down on Saturday night to Ireland, so that test series is now locked at 1 apiece. The third and deciding test will be played in Sydney this week at Allianz Stadium. Sold out already, so good to see. A few big tests for the Wallabies coming up, considering they're going to be without Will Guiney. It's also not good news for the Melbourne Rebels as well, likely to be out for the rest of the season with a broken arm. on Fox Sports yesterday, Jeremy Paul, with a bit of a discussion here about who should beat Will Guinea's replacement.
Mate, look, Nick Phibbs, I like Nick Phibbs, but I thought young Gordon from the Waratahs should have actually been... Will Guinea, I believe, has been our best player for the last 12 months, and if he would have carried on playing, because he was man of the match last week, I believe if he would have carried on playing, he would have won the John Eales medal this year. So I thought he was that good last year, and it's the little things that Will Guinea does. Like, Will Guinea, if you notice when there's players that break the line or if there's kicks in behind... You'll notice Will Guinea is always there. And his directional play as well, it's a massive loss.
Full time in that World Cup game between Brazil and Switzerland, 1-1. So remarkable statistic. The semi-finalists from the 2014 World Cup have so far achieved 3 draws, and Italy didn't even make it. So it has been a remarkable opening to this tournament. Don't forget the Socceroos in action again on Thursday against Denmark in what is a must-win game. On our way back to the footy, we'll go via the NRL and plenty of origin speculation as to who is going to make the squad. There's been a few new call-ups with some injuries at the moment, and Cameron Smith believes Kalyn Ponga should be featuring in Origin 2.
I think he's ready. He's a special player, isn't he? You know, he's been outstanding all year, but even today in a losing side, you know, he created issues for us all day, to be honest. You know, I thought we did a fairly good job on him, and we knew we had to, but still we put numbers around him and he still, like I said, caused some issues. You know, he set up a try in the second half down our right side. You know, just the ease that he creates opportunities for his outside men, you know, just it looks too easy. And even speaking to a couple of our outside backs there after the game, just saying that when they come up to defend him and they think they have him in a position to contain him, he just changes position really quickly and they're beaten. And, you know, they're just scrambling to try and get a hold of him. So, you know, I think he's more than ready. You know, I'm not too sure if what position if he's going to make the team or the squad, what position he gets, whether it's in the starting team or on the bench. But I think he has to be there. Just given the situation for Queensland, it's a must-win game. You know, we all know that. You know, I think Kevin understands that. You know, and he needs someone there that can create some opportunities for the team and can win a game. And certainly Kalyn Ponga is a player that can do that.
Cameron Smith speaking there yesterday after the Storm win. CEO Dave Donaghy to join us after 8 o'clock this morning on the signing of Craig Bellamy to stay at the club. In case you missed it, the Tigers yesterday, 18-point winners over Geelong at the MCG. Damien Hardwick, it's fair to say, was getting a bit frustrated post-game with a lot of the speculation surrounding Alex Rance.
I think it's farcical, to be perfectly honest. And the thing is, I sit there and I can encourage you fire from this game. If they're going to fire, that staging rule is not for the over-exaggeration of free kicks. The rule itself would say it is. But to me, if I push someone and he falls over, that's staging. I'll over-exaggerate it for a free kick, absolutely. And every player within the AFL system has done the same. Unfortunately, they seem to pick on my bloke. It's what we do, mate, champions. Buddy Franklin over-exaggerates a free kick. All of a sudden, the media are all over him. Just let the guys play. Pull your heads in a bit, I reckon. Seriously, just talk about the game. Stop looking for the sensational headlines. It is just ridiculous.
Plenty to come on The Breakfast Club. Make sure you stick around. Plenty of analysis on that to come after 7 with Rodney Eade when he's in for his round 13 look at things. Dave Donaghy, Melbourne Storm CEO. Usman Khawaja, Australian Test batsman. Francis Leach from over in Russia, the Early Mail. And we'll also head and catch up with Alex Dimonor as well, who's won overnight on the Challenger Tour as well. There is so much sport going on. We'll keep you updated with the US Open all throughout the morning. Brooks Koepka currently with a one-shot lead. That's very good for my Skyrocket, so hopefully it stays that way. Have a great morning, and we'll chat again tomorrow.
That was RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.